And welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, July 30th. It is 106 and temperatures outside are a warm 85 degrees with a dew point of 71.
Whoa.
It's warm out there. Your heat index is 90 right now. We have a south wind at 13 miles an hour. All in all, not too bad of a day out there. We'll be running down the forecast coming up here in just a moment. And if you have any questions around weather or anything agriculture-wise, anything we're talking about or a topic you'd like us to touch on or look into, feel free to give us a call on the Red Wing Shoe Line. That's 701-293-9000. Emails to the program, weather or ag, at flagfamily.com, and comment boxes there on Facebook and YouTube Live, as well as Acres TV, where we live stream each and every single day. Fun things coming up on the show today. We'll run that down here in just a second as well. But first, Dean, Bridget, we made it another day. How has your Tuesday morning and afternoon been so far? I'll take that as a promising note. Sounds good. All right, we're winning already. Bridget, what you been up to?
It's been a busy morning at my desk. A lot of conference calls, recordings, that kind of thing. So just trying to keep up with all that's going on. And in fact, getting questions from a listener about a soybean field. We're trying to decide if it's sudden soybean death or if we're at a wilt in these soybeans.
Ooh, not SSD.
That could happen.
That's not good. Hey, I was driving on the way down here, and for whatever reason, something on the right side, the west side of I-29, just caught my eye. I was looking over there. It was a cornfield, but man, the corn was like the height of some tall beans. I'm like, is this really all weather thing, or did you just put it in at such a late period that it's just not going to make it?
Could be a replant. Could have been gone in late, but also might have been something from hail damage.
No, I don't think it was hail damage. I mean, this was adolescent corn is what it looked like to me, the best way to put it. I mean, it looked like it was maybe knee-high, maybe a little higher than knee-high corn. And I'm like, that corn don't look hurt. It just looks small.
It might be just small. That can happen, right? We'll see if we have some that fairly late planted stuff out there, which is possible. And we're at all sorts of stages of growth because we've got some corn that's really moving towards maturity and it looks really good. We have wheat that's ready to harvest. There's already some rye being taken off. Honestly, one of the hardest things, though, with our small grains is all this humidity. That's really holding us back on being able to combines in the field until like 3-4 o'clock. And then you start to run out of time to combine because once we get to dark and the humidity increases again, now you're going to slug machines, right? When you have that much humidity, that crop doesn't thrash well through the combine. So, and you have high moisture content.
So how does the humidity affect the machine, or is the humidity affecting the crop, which is harder to eat up? What's going on with the humidity in the machines, Bridget?
It's the crop. It affects the crop, and so it makes it more difficult for the machine to effectively clean that plant as it comes through there. Because when you're combining small grains, that combine is literally removing all of the stalk, the leaves, the chaff, right down to the actual kernel. And when you have so much humidity, it makes it very difficult for all of that to be removed.
And just because
when you have wet stems, they don't cut well.
I was going to say, is this because the plant is taking up the humidity, or is it like dew on the plant and that's what's causing it to gum up?
Both, but you'll definitely see the dew on it that's really wet. And we don't want to combine high moisture crop because then it's tougher to store in bins, that type of thing. So we want to make sure we take it at the right timing. So there's a lot going on.
So the corn wants the humidity, but the small grains do not.
Right. Yeah, they're not ready for it at this point.
No one's ever happy.
See? That's what this is like. No one is ever happy.
All right. Mm-mm. Well, I think we just summed up farming. No one's ever completely happy when it comes to farming. And those years are by far huge anomalies where people are just, I'm happy. Like, no, you're not. Shut up. You're not happy.
You're just a ray of sunshine today.
I'm fun, Dean.
Man.
I'm funny.
How how long are we going to keep having humidity? Is there going to be a break in this action so that folks can get in the field in a decent time frame?
Well,
what do you got, guys?
I say yes, there will be a break in the humidity, but it's not coming today and it's not coming tomorrow. Dean, what would you have
it's
to
not,
say on that?
You are correct. Yeah, kind of humid the next couple of days, and our chances of storms will be increasing as we head into your Wednesday as well. As Justin pointed out, it's a humid one out there today. Currently mid-80s, should make it up pretty close to 90 today with south winds about 10 to 15. And those dew points getting into that 70-degree range. Tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies. A few storms developing out in the central part of the state rolling eastward. Might reach the valley towards sunrise before they kind of fizzle out. Lows in the upper 60s tonight. And then partly cloudy on Wednesday. Still a little bit on the humid side. An early morning storm, and then a better chance for storms coming in late tomorrow. Looks like the best chance will be overnight tomorrow night, but we could see some evening storms developing as well. And then Thursday and Friday, we dry things out, heat things up, upper 80s, low 90s by Friday. And the weekend, we'll see a Canadian cold front slip in here on Sunday. Saturday's still a hot one, upper 80s, and then we'll fall off on Sunday. At least the low to mid 80s. We're getting some signs we could even drop off into the 70s on Sunday. We'll wait and see how that pans out. And then cooler 70s to start off next week. That'll be nice. Mm-hmm. Nice little little refreshing change there. But it's been a nice stretch of pretty warm weather. I mean, good for corn growing. Even that short corn.
It is.
Why do you got to make fun of short things, Justin? It's not nice.
Don't worry about it, Dean.
Not nice.
Is this a sensitive topic for you?
Maybe.
Do you want to talk about it? We can talk about it.
I really don't.
Okay, well.
I really don't.
Then we don't need to bring it up.
Fair enough.
Are you sure? My whole thought behind it was, did it get put in at a point to where you should have just not done it? Because are you going to get what you put in out at the end of the year is my thought on it. And Bridget, I don't know if you're able to allude on that, because obviously it determines on what type of corn, maturity date, and all that kind of jazz. But it's just something that crossed through my mind. It's like, I mean, man, you're like, not to make fun of your corn for being knee height, but at what point in the year did we put it in, and should we have maybe picked something else or just not put it in at all? Because I can't imagine throwing corn in the ground is a cheap thing to do.
Well, it's not, and it may depend on what you have to do. So, you know, maybe we don't know if something was happening in that field and it has to be a replant for a particular reason. Mm-hmm. Was this a field where folks are working towards, there's not a lot of cattle in that area, so I'd be hard pressed to say they're going to cut it for silage. And especially if it's that short, it's not going to get to forage quality. I guess without actually seeing what's going on in the field or in the surrounding area, I'd have some questions. It would make sense if it was drowned out acres, if you saw big swaths of the field that had been drowned out and then replanted around them. So if there were some areas of just simple unplantedness, but I'm not real sure what that looks like.
Yeah.
I head to Grand Forks tomorrow. So can you just tell me where it's at so I can look for it?
Yeah, I'll shoot you a message on where it is. And again, like, I'm not making fun of your corn being short. That's just the first thing that crossed my mind was, what's going on? Was it worth it? Should you have waited? But it looked like a normal cornfield. I mean, there was nothing yellow. It was green. The leaves looked fine from the road. And it looked like, you know, it wasn't just the perimeter. It looked like it was the whole field was just really short corn. So I'm like, are you going to get anything out of this?
If we have a long fall, which I heard Dean making promises recently
making
to people
promises,
that we're not going to get
making
promises. We're cool. Not going to have a frost until into October. So if that's the case, we're going to have
a
much better fall and really good yield on our corn.
Did you consult the magic eight ball is the big question.
No. I used the dartboard.
Well, I mean, that's a starting point.
Right.
We'll consult the magic eight ball. We'll come back after our break coming up here in a moment, and we'll consult with the magic eight ball and see what it has to say. And it's got a pretty good track record.
It really does.
I mean, out of 43 predictions, 39 have come true. So it's doing pretty darn good. That's better than us.
I appreciate there's a tally sheet for it.
Some days it is.
Hey, anyways, coming up on the program throughout the course of the next 45 minutes, we got Dumb Off Trivia we'll be doing in our third or fourth segment. as well as a few ag topics that we're going to be running down, including a $7 million South Dakota fertilizer alternative project, and Minnesota applicator fees can be reimbursed. So we'll hit on those two things, and looks like we got a new AI announcement we'll be talking about from Tyrannus. Did I say that right?
Tyrannus.
Like Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Well, I can pretty much fill you in on what it is. Tyrannus is a huge drone company. We saw them out at Big Iron last fall. When you see that drone, you're talking about a wingspan of somewhere around 7 feet. I mean, they're large.
It's almost the size
and they can
of
carry
eagle.
A pretty big capacity. Exactly. So what they have done is they are putting AI, not artificial insemination. Let's be clear. This is artificial intelligence.
A little awkward with a drone. I think there's
Wouldn't
laws
it? The cow
on
would
that.
Feel weird. Right. So this is they're going to have the first AI-powered agronomic engine. It's called AgAssist.
Oh,
what they are doing is taking more than 500 million leaf-level data points along with relevant industry information that they've received from weather maps, machinery data, university research, crop input companies, and more. And that drone is able to spit out a report back to the crop consultant and the farmer saying, I can detect this particular pest. Or I see an anomaly that could lead to disease, or I see an outbreak of this particular weed. And it can do it in areas of the field where if your corn is tall or your soybeans, you might not see it from the road and the crop is too big to scout with a four-wheeler or something like that. So here's your chance to look at it in a little bit different way.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool. We'll have to learn more about that as well. And we got our guest with us. That's Greg Steeman from Starian Bank. It's our Farm Financer or Finance Insider segment that we're going to be doing. If you got any questions for Greg from Starian Bank or any, I don't know, maybe advisor questions to a point, feel free to give us a call, 701-293-9000. We got fun questions that we're going to ask Greg. And you can be a part of the conversation as well when we come back from the American Ag Network.
Oh, welcome back. Thank you for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus, and especially on this Tuesday, as we are joined by Greg Steeman with Starian Bank. We're going to hear for the Farm Finance Insider. Okay, Greg, I got a whole list of questions for you again. Are you ready? It's like the firing round, you might say.
we'll give it a shot. I may jump off on a tangent, but you never know.
I look forward to those. That would be perfect, especially right now after we've been watching the steady increase of crop inputs over the summer months, and we've got all this concern about what our yield's going to look like going into the fall harvest and then just pre-planning for 2025. And so this is a question you and I didn't talk about, probably a little bit of a curveball for you. We know that credit card debt is increasing at just a tremendous rate across the country. It's the highest it's been since 2012. Do you see that happening to farms as well, that in some instances they're using credit card debt instead of a line of credit or an operating loan?
That's a good question. I haven't dealt with it to this point. But it certainly isn't going to be foreign to farmer, you know, the agriculture industry, because it's very pervasive across society, and there's a reliance on it. It's an incredibly high interest rate, and I just think those are things that it's about living within your means, and it's hard to or operating within your means. It's hard message, and sometimes those are hard questions to ask and maybe uncomfortable questions to ask, but I think they're absolutely necessary if you're getting to a point where that's a concern and the interest expense is really outrageous.
Okay, you said hard questions to ask. All right, well, Mr. Banker, when it's time to have those questions, especially the way this year is setting up, right? We have a lot of concern with what's happening regarding our crop inputs, our yield, as I mentioned. How do you work with growers? How do you sit them down and try to take the emotion out of what they're doing and make good business decisions? Is there some coaching that you've been able to do over your career?
Well, it's absolutely necessary to remove emotion at times. Now, you don't want to remove empathy. You understand that, you know, ag is no different than any other industry. There are going to be years where you experience losses. The manner in which you handle those and the manner in which you find a way to offset those losses and pay them back over the course of time, you know, after four or five decent years where you've got enough extra to make that, to close that gap, those are worthwhile conversations. They're necessary conversations because it's a reality at times. I mean, you're going to come in and you're going to say, well, we still have $400,000 on your line of credit. and they're going to come in and say, well, here's my last check, and it's $274,000. There's $126,000 we've got to figure out a way to you know, set it up and term it out over the next 5, 7, 10 years, however you decide to set it up. But those are realities, and those are difficult questions, but they're necessary questions, especially between you and your banker.
Right. Greg, how could a role model help out a young farmer operational-wise and financial-wise?
I'm going to bring this back to even the topic that, that Bridget just brought up. A conservative approach matters. And mm-hmm. I think some of our more experienced farmers have been through and experienced some very difficult times, especially when you go back to the 80s. And they learned coming out of that. And my dad's one of them. You know, and he's one that that was very, you know, he didn't skimp, but he made sure he watched the cost. And that's not necessarily inherent in the younger generation. I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to be that get off the lawn guy. But sometimes sometimes it's okay to drive a five-year-old pickup and not have to get a new one every 4 years. Sometimes it's okay to say, hey, I'm going to go without a car payment. I'm going to go without a tractor payment. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go without a combine payment for a few years and reinvest those dollars that you're saving back into your operation. And I think our older generation, our more experienced generation, they speak from experience when they share those things. And so I think having a mentor that's been through some of the tough times and knows how to manage their way out of those difficult times is absolutely invaluable. University of Missouri and AgWeb did a survey of 70 ag economists. And so I'm being honest. I'm a coach, so everything I ever had I stole from somebody. So I want to make sure I give credit to AgWeb and the University of Missouri. But they talked about what are you going to cut in 2025 if you don't, you know, when it comes to production costs and inputs, what are you going to cut? 100% of the responses were we're going to reduce machinery purchases. Now, that mm-hmm. could lend itself to higher repair bills, but, you know, this is probably a survey that there's a lot of implement dealers out there right now going, this is not good for us, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting, what things would they not, you know, skimp on and what things would they consider? One of the things that they will not do is, for the most part, 80% of them said they're not going to go with lower price seed. They believe there's too much, you know, research.
Value.
Yeah, too much value, too much research that's put into the quality seed you can get right now. So they're not going to compromise there. They're not going to compromise on increasing efficiencies, but they're going to compromise when it comes to machinery purchases. And the other area that was interesting is 80% said they're going to go to maybe generic products, and they're also going to cut out some specialty products like foliar fertilizer, things like that. So it was interesting to see where these people that have been through some unique financial times, how do you improve your efficiency going into maybe a less uncertain time when it comes to product, you know, input prices not changing, and we're not sure what the markets are going to do. How do you improve your efficiency? So that was an interesting survey that I kind of looked up after you sent some of those questions, Bridget. I thought, I'm going to see where people would be willing to cut. So I appreciate the question. I hope I answered that.
Yes, you did.
And I feel like you and I read the same survey. but it lends me to ask some questions that you and I hadn't prepared in advance. We always try to come prepared for this, but we never mm-hmm. know where it's going to go. When you see that those changes where more repair bills, less new equipment, first of all, John Deere has announced that they are going to see a 20% decrease from last year to this year in new equipment purchases. Helping drive those purchases needs to be a total farm decision. Do you see more women who are either just say, well, I'm just married to the farmer, or that are already have an active hand in the farm? Do you see more women coming in when it's time to have that discussion about the operating loans and being a part of what's actually going on financially?
Yeah, that's not uncommon at all. And I think it's important because, you know, when you look at people helping on the farm, there's brain power, there's person power, whatever you want to call it. I think she's the spouse can be an extremely critical voice in this. I think it can. You could go back to taking emotion out of decision making. I mean, there's different levels of emotional commitment to the farm, and sometimes it'll help to have a better voice that's more objective and has stepped away a little bit and can see the forest for the trees and saying, no, we can afford not to. You know, we don't need this new this year. We don't need to replace this year. And that's an objective point of view. So, Yes, I have seen that, and I think it's valuable. You talked, I think, off air, we discussed one time about having an advisory board. Well, it's always important that you have your team, and a big part of your team is your spouse. And when you talk about the agronomist, when you talk about the banker, when you talk about your tax attorney or tax accountant, all of those people have input, and they all bring objectivity. The one that probably brings the least objectivity and the most emotion at times is the primary farmer. And so I think it's important to surround yourself with people who can step away and say, no, we've got to look at these numbers more carefully. We're spending too much here. How do we cut back on that?
From your perspective, Greg, as a banker who's been doing this for some time, what do you think the overall health of the regional ag economy is? Do you feel solid as we go into 2025, or what are some words of wisdom there?
Well, I'm not overly concerned. I mean, it's at the point where you go, you better be watching where you're at, and you better be looking to the future right now, because based on what we're seeing, the trends in the markets, and you know, not necessarily, you know, we don't know what's going to come out of Brazil, Argentina, Russia at this point. But we can't depend on that either. You can't bank on having some, you know, poor, terrible crop in some foreign country. You've got to prepare as though it's a normal year everywhere else, and then prepare to what we've already discussed, the 25 costs. You've got to make sure you're very aware of what they're going to be. And if you can lock some prices in early and can afford to carry that interest, that's okay, and as long as it pays off. But otherwise, I just think you have to really look at how can you maximize efficiencies moving forward, and that involves a lot of different opinions at times.
And Greg, how much does Farm Bill and politics, those two, factor into the health of ag?
Well, it's a good question, and frankly, we're very fortunate to have Senator Hovind very involved in drafting the Farm Bill. He understands this part of the country, and I think Senator Cramer is extremely important there as well. From a farming standpoint and from a banking standpoint, we want it to have as little impact as possible. You know, it's just like, and it's always, hey, you know what? Things operate a lot more smoothly out in the rest of the country when there's nothing happening in D.C. That seems to be, you know, the thought process at times. But to be honest with you, unless there are drastic changes, and I don't think there's really an appetite for drastic changes at this point, like when you look at crop insurance programs and things like that, I think there's more of an appetite to say, how can we extend what we've already got in place? And if we are going to make changes, let's make sure they're minor and they're not going to have a substantial impact on the ag economy.
Okay.
Those are big things. So, Greg, all of your folks over at Starion Bank, how can people come and find you? And when can they find you so they can come and have these discussions face-to-face with you? Because I feel like as a trusted advisor, they need to sit down and spend a little bit of time visiting.
Well, I appreciate that. Just go to our website, starionbank.com, and that's probably the easiest way to access bankers. We've got multiple locations across the state of North Dakota, a few down in Madison, Wisconsin. But starionbank.com is the best place where you can find out hours and who you might have an opportunity to visit with when it comes to having these conversations.
Awesome. Oh, appreciate
that would
it,
be excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. Thanks, Greg. We like having you here and like doing this monthly segment. We'll join us again next month, the last Tuesday of the month, for Farm Finance Insider with Starion Bank and Greg Steeman. He brings us all of his wealth of knowledge and advice, and he keeps us on track because you just never know what's going to be happening in the farm economy coming up in the next couple of months. So stay tuned. We've got more to discuss. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Weather, Neg, and Focus. So glad that you are here and joining us today. And a big shout out to our Here We Grow sponsors. Today is corn growing weather. And I would say that if you are thinking about harvest and there's a purchase in your future, you might want to be checking out the used equipment lineup that at auction at Steffes Group. You can go to their online live auctions, steffesgroup.com. There's a lot more online auctions than there are in person these days, but if there's something you're looking for and you don't want to be buying new, check them out on used equipment sites or for used equipment opportunities. And if you're going there, just like we talked about with Greg Steeman from Starion Bank, don't forget to check with your banker first. And our banker for our Here We Grow project is Dakota Bank. They are one of the largest ag lending institutions in the region based out of Aberdeen, South Dakota. Well, you guys have the magic eight ball in studio now so we can make better predictions.
We got the magic
eight
ball.
Dean promised. I literally heard him tell farmers last week in Baltic, South Dakota that, yeah, we're not getting a frost until October. So are we?
So did you put a specific date down there, or is it just October? Because I can probably...
Well, that narrows it down, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You're talking free off, so...
Early, I think we were talking early October. We won't have anything.
Yeah, like the first... I was thinking was it was somewhere days? Around the probably 10 days. Yeah, yeah, we'd be into like the 10th or 11th, right. Or well, excuse me, 10th or 15th.
Let's ask the Magic 8 Ball here to see what we got. Will Fargo escape a first frost until the second week of October? The Magic 8 Ball says you may rely on it. So there you go, Dean. Your promise has got some credibility to it now.
It's been 8 Ball's what?
Magic 8 Ball is 39 of 43 tries.
All right.
So we're that was prediction number 44.
Well, I'd be curious if others have predictions, and if they do, they can reach us on the Red Wing Shoe phone line, 701-293-9000. Let us know. As Justin said, it was the number last week. It's the number this week, and you can still call us here next
It'll
week, too.
It'll probably be the number tomorrow, too. Hey, guys, we got to do our trivia bit here. It's time to play a little dumb off. You guys ready?
Aren't you playing the sounder?
Okay, hold on.
We'll play the sounder
sheets.
When we're ready. You All got right. the stuff, so... What is dumb off? Well, we're going to tell you exactly what it is.
It is time to determine who has the biggest smart in the dumb off. Here are the rules. Dean, Justin, Bridget, and Addison will play on the listener's behalf. They will go through two or three rounds of the most grueling trivia questions on the planet. Whoever has the most points at the end will be awarded the big smart. The contestant they're playing for will win a prize, and all contestants will be entered into a drawing for the grand prize.
Oh, this ought to be good. This will either be the greatest or dumbest thing I've ever heard.
There we go. So
that's
this
probably right.
How'd
you get them to do the sounders?
You know,
for that?
You just got to have connections and people in the military that retired at very high ranking positions.
Morgan
and you can
Freeman.
Just about do anything in the entire country, believe it or not.
Man.
Connections, man.
You've got some pull.
I got a little pull.
I'm impressed.
Anyway, so we're going to be playing on listeners' behalfs today. I'll be playing for Amy S. Dean, you're playing for Kelly. Bridget, you're playing for Thomas B. And Addison's not here, so our other producer, JT, is going to be playing for Chuck.
What am I doing?
Best of luck to all the listeners. We're going to be playing trivia. We'll go two or three rounds.
Smart all of us.
We'll see who's got the biggest smart here.
All I heard was fear in JT's voice.
Like, what am I doing? So I'll just randomly give you guys a number. You got the list of questions. We'll take turns asking each other. First person to spit out the correct answer gets a point. If we can't come up with the correct answer, we'll ask a second question. Bridget.
I got a question already.
Yes.
And that is, have y'all been checking off which ones we've already used? So we're
this should be a new list of questions.
Oh, the one you've put in messaging. Okay,
yeah,
I'll go
so
look at
that. Should be a new one. It's 1 through 30. I'm going to ask the first question, number 19. What animal played with the antelope according to the song Home on the Range?
Deer.
Deer.
Ooh, Dean got it.
Deer and the antelope play.
Yeah.
Where seldom is heard.
There you go. So you got the first point.
And what was the sky cover that day?
Oh, man, it was hazy. Hazy, smoky, overcast. Just like
Canada
every other
fire.
Day, Canada was on fire again. Anyway, Dean, the next question you're going to ask is number one.
Number one. All right. Good thing this wasn't asked to me.
What?
What kind of fish are Dory and Marlin from Finding Nemo?
Cute ones that swim in a little fish tank. They're kind of colorful.
Wu-Tang and a clownfish.
Wu-Tang?
Yeah, Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang? You are correct. Blue Tang and a clownfish. Is there really a fish called Blue Tang?
It's a Blue Tang.
Really?
I don't get it. All the answers are right here.
Well, you're supposed to not read
the
answer.
You're not supposed to look at it.
Don't look.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
Well, if you've been reading them, why aren't you spitting them out?
I haven't been reading them.
I don't think Chuck is very happy with your performance so far, JT.
Hey, Thomas, I'm sorry.
What's the grand prize? We're playing for...
We'll allude to that later. All JT, right. The question you're going to ask is number three.
What is the chemical symbol for gold?
AU.
AU.
You're
right.
Hey, you better bleep that out, JT.
Yeah.
Oh, you said AU.
I said AU.
Oh,
come
I'm
on.
Sorry.
Lock it up. Bridget, number nine.
Okay, I'm going to read number nine.
The Great Wall of China.
So, JT, what if that's the answer?
That's how this game
Dean
works,
and Justin,
right?
What's the... What's the question?
What is the question? Number nine.
What
famous wall is visible from space? JT, what was the answer?
The Great Wall of China.
That's what Chuck wants to hear. There we go. Way to go, Chuck.
I think you need to revise how you put this together. You've given us the answers right along with the questions.
Well, we'll come up with a different solution for next week. Anyways,
and you think that Dean is going to be honest?
Oh, he's definitely not. He grabbed these out of the printer as I was doing it, sat down and started reading them. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's called studying.
He's like,
I'm studying. It's called studying.
Yeah, you're studying.
That's not cheating. It's not cheating. It's studying.
Well, let's see how good you are on here. Number 12. What are the bones in your spine called?
Vertebrae.
Good. You have issues with those.
I have, yeah. Especially the bottom four.
Dean, number 21.
All right. Number 21. Who gave the U.S. the Statue of Liberty?
France.
Yeah, that's the only good thing that came from there.
Oh, JT.
Nice job.
Hey, they gave us French fries.
No, they didn't. Oh, my goodness.
Come on, that's the bit, Dean. Jeez. All right.
Play along.
Oh, my God. 23, JT.
23. Which letter in the Walt Disney logo is lowercase?
In the Walt Disney logo?
Oh.
Trying to figure out what the logo looks like.
I think it's just...
It's the D.
Remember the fairy?
Yeah, yeah.
And she...
Yeah, Tinkerbell.
Yep.
Is it the Y?
Not according to the answers you've given us.
Okay.
Well, then it's got to be one of the vowels. Well, how about, let's go with I.
Cheater.
It is I.
I want to see a picture of that, because we'll have to find it later.
I guess. We already did number
three. That's called
three.
My lucky guess.
Yeah.
My only connection to this is I have a Tinkerbell costume from Halloween. That's all I got for you. Okay, what's my number?
Number eight.
How many sides does a triangle have?
Three.
And we all answered that right.
Everybody gets that.
Who got it right first?
I think Justin did.
Was it just a three-way or?
It was.
Next question.
Justin got it.
All right.
Okay.
I'll give myself a point then. Next question, number 21. We already asked that one, so let's do number 14 instead. How about which continent is the largest?
Asia.
Way to go, JT.
Yeah.
Chuck is loving you right now.
Good studying.
Hey, look, we got another three-way going on, another tie between me, Dean, and JT. We'll go one more round.
This game is easy.
Yeah, this is the most grueling trivia on the planet. All right, number 8, Dean. We already did number 8. Sorry. How about number 20? Nope, did that one too. 24.
24. What kind of animal is an albatross?
Fish?
Big bird.
Bird.
Bridget got that one.
Yep.
Bridget, way to go. All right, JT. How about number 26?
In which mountain range would you find the Matterhorn?
Alps.
Correct.
Way to go, Dean. Studying's really paying off.
It always did in school. Well, it didn't always in school.
All right. So we're down to our last question here. And it's Dean has 4 points. I have 3. Bridget, I'm sorry. You got 1 point. JT, you have 3.
Is my mic on mute?
Well, it's the first person to get it gets the point.
Justin, can you just whisper the question to me quick?
Yeah. Do you not want to look at it?
No, I want to look.
Well, it's Bridget's question.
Oh.
It's my turn.
Yeah. Bridget, how about number... you just pick one.
Pick one?
16. Yeah, don't tell us. Just pick one.
Who starred alongside Julia Roberts in the 2022 film Ticket to Paradise? Dean read ahead.
No, I did not.
That's true.
I studied ahead. So, I remember that question. I remember Julia Roberts, and I knew at the end. It's called Recall. Finally, it's working.
Finally, your memory's back.
It's coming back.
Oh, good. I'm glad the trivia jogged it. Anyway, that was our 3 rounds of grueling trivia. I finished with 3. Sorry, Amy. Dean, you're the winner. Kelly R., you're going to be entered into the chance to win that. You're going to win a prize, but everyone else is entered to win the grand prize.
Congratulations, Kelly. And I will study for our next contestant next week. I will study ahead of time.
Yes. I'm not going to print the sheet out beforehand. Okay. And maybe I'll just tuck the answers away.
I'm going to start not just saying them out loud, but I am using the...
We have not heard that in a while.
See, we might have to just get a sounder to notify who's saying what. But JT, thanks for playing along. You, I think
you're
you
welcome.
Made Chuck
yeah.
proud.
Your game is flawed, but it was fun.
You know what? It's like most things. There's room for improvement.
Look who designed it. So oh, I mean,
come you know. On, I got Morgan Freeman and Donald Trump to help
you
me
did.
Out with that. You know how hard that was to do. You know how long I had to wait.
I'm not sure if that Trump. Comment or the windmill comment is better.
I don't know. The windmill one's pretty
The windmill funny. One, I think, beats that one, but it's yeah. pretty close.
Anyway, we got to take a moment here. When we come back, we got a recap on the forecast. We still got two ag topics to get to. We need to talk about the $7 million South Dakota Fertilizer Alternative Project, as well as the Minnesota applicator fees that can apparently be reimbursed. So we'll hit those two at the forecast, and any questions you have, you can reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the program, 152. You heard the thunder, and there's a chance for thunder in the forecast over the next... a couple of days. We'll run down that forecast here in just a second. But again, if you want to call in, be a part of the conversation, 701-293-9000. We're going to hit one of these ag topics here. And this is a $7 million South Dakota fertilizer alternative project. And Bridget, what can you tell me about this project down in South Dakota?
Okay, so this is being funded by the National Science Foundation. And this is a way for South Dakota to start an initiative looking for a more biological fertilizer fixation and how its applications can be used in traditional farming. And the research that they're looking to do is for improved soil health, of course. And one of the ways that they're already thinking about spending the $7 million is to use cyanobacteria, which is the blue-green algae that we are familiar with. On we've talked about as stock tanks that we shouldn't be having around animals and plants, animals and people, we shouldn't be consuming it. But you can take that bacteria, you can process it down, and then be able to spread that out on fields. And it could actually act as a nitrogen source to be used in fields. So SDSU is going to work on this. They're doing it in conjunction with the South Dakota School of Mines, University of South Dakota, and the Ogallala Lakota College to see what they can do to find a more sustainable fertilizer that could be used in the region. All places are looking for more ways to be sustainable. We're looking for different fertilizer alternatives so we don't have to rely on our overseas markets as heavily. And this is one more way in which it's being funded and something's being looked into. Speaking of things that are being funded and looked into, hot off the press, teacher appreciation lunch. Right here at our studios for WDAY Radio and 1100 AM, The Flag, on Wednesday, August 14th from 11 to 2. If you are a teacher, you are welcome to come join us for a free lunch. So swing on by, mark your calendars. This is going to be sponsored by Meats by John and Wayne, North Dakota State College of Science, Prosperity Health Pharmacy, MSUM, The Glass Doctor Auto. There will be food trucks, bouncy houses for kids, games, prizes, and so much more. It's how we want to say thank you to teachers as they head off back to school.
Indeed.
Right around the corner. Man, that's hard to believe.
Not too fast. Whole summer went by really fast. Man. A little faster than normal. Makes you think of something going on. Hey, we got a phone call from Greg. Greg, welcome to the show. What's going on today?
Yeah, hi. See, you know, we had some relatives around the Sheboygan, Wisconsin area. We were wondering if... you know, the name Riedel, we were just wondering maybe if Bridget's husband or maybe her family herself were ever in the junk hauling business in Sheboygan.
Bridget, but, you ever haul any junk in your life?
Well, to
junk,
say...
There's a lot of money in junk.
There
yeah.
sure is.
In some ways, yes. I can say that this family, I will have to do a little more research to see who's landed in Wisconsin. There are some distant relatives that were in the Chicago area, so it's probably not that far out of the realm of possibility as yes. But actually, my husband's family is mostly from the Buchanan-Wimbledon area in central North Dakota, and a lot of folks involved in farming over in that region grew up with horses, cattle, that type of thing. So I'll find out, though, what they know about Sheboygan, which every time that comes to mind, I think of John Candy in the movie when he talks about being from, you know, a band from Sheboygan.
Oh, that's right. I think a sausage. They've got good sausage out of Sheboygan.
Exactly.
Right on, right on.
All good things.
Well,
hey, speaking of all good things, tomorrow, one of our sponsors for Here We Grow, also Red River Valley Retention Authority, their partner summit is tomorrow in Grand Forks, starts at 10 a.m. I'm sorry, East Grand Forks. And they have a featured speaker that is former representative from Minnesota, Colin Peterson. So swing in to be a part of that. I'll be there. And then our guest tomorrow, who will be Greg Amundsen, he's also going to meet me there. So we'll get a chance to visit with you guys direct from that meeting. A lot going on right now.
Sure, sounds
plenty
like
of things.
It. I'm excited for that conversation tomorrow, see what he's got going on with Root Connections and his event and whatnot. And by the way, Greg, thanks for calling. Appreciate you listening and giving us a phone call there. Let's hit the forecast here quick because it seems nice out there now.
Yeah.
Is it going to stay nice? And, well, I mean, it doesn't look bad, but if I step outside, I might melt. Dean, how hot is it?
You will melt. We're in the mid-80s right now. And it is humid out there. On our way up to about 90 for this afternoon with humid conditions and mainly sunny skies. A little bit of a breeze out of the south, about 10 to 15. A few clouds tonight, upper 60s. Could see an isolated storm or two roll in from the west into the valley towards sunrise. Best chance of storms comes on Wednesday. Now, we're going to have many dry hours, so if you have any outdoor plans, I think you'll be able to squeeze a lot of it in. But by evening, and especially Wednesday night, we're looking at more storms coming into the area. Highs tomorrow, mid-80s, upper 80s, Thursday, Friday dry with upper 80s on Thursday, right around 90 or into the low 90s on Friday, upper 80s on Saturday, and then looks like we should cool off a little bit on Sunday with a slight chance of a storm over the weekend. All in all, not bad. We did have some storms last night. I want to give a shout out and thank you to Michelle. She emailed in a picture of some tree damage in South Fargo, wondering if it was wind or if it was lightning. My guess would be, looking at the picture, it looked like lightning because we didn't have a whole lot of wind action here in South Fargo last night as the storms rolled through. They didn't drop a whole lot of precip, but yeah, there was a lot of lightning with that, so could very well may have been that lightning struck the willow tree.
You ever been next to something that's been struck by lightning before?
I've been close, not next to.
Oh, my God. It's deafening. It is scary. And you get a whole new respect for when the skies start flashing
a little bit.
It's something else. We'll tell that story tomorrow, maybe, because we're all out of time for today. We appreciate you listening. Jay Thomas Show is going to be coming up next. He's got all sorts of fun stuff and a few stories he's going to share with you. So stay tuned. He's coming up next.